Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award.
I do my rocking on the stage. Welcome back to The Savage Nation. This is Michael Savage filling in for Michael Savage. Back from a abbreviated, small, but beautiful mini vacation. And, of course, we know what's going on in Washington, which is turmoil. The fog is lifting from Foggy Bottom, and Steve Bannon has lost his power. He is out, and guess who's in? Rick Perry. Now, that tells you everything you need to know. It doesn't matter which side you are on. The fact is, Rick Perry is an open borders Bush guy. So it seems to me that the conservative wing of the Bush administration has been, let us put it this way, sidelined for the moment. And the liberal wing of the Trump camp has now ascended to the power that they've always wanted. Rick Perry is clearly an open borders man. In fact, Rick Perry on Donald Trump's borders wall last July said it's never going to happen. Former Texas Governor Rick Perry might have given Donald Trump a full-throated endorsement for president, but the Texas Tribune reported back in July he is not fond of the presumptive Republican nominee's plan to build a wall along the U.S.-Mexican border. In exchange posted with Snapchat's somebody on the social network's political show, that's where he get, that's where Rick Perry went on a Snapchat radio show. He wouldn't come on this show. Wouldn't come on this show for years. Well, he's now national security advisor. He said, no, no, I'm for Donald Trump, and he says we're going to build a wall. The Mexicans are going to pay for it, he said. Well, it's not, Perry agreed with the host. It's not going to happen. Perry has long been a critic of building a wall or fence along the border. In 2011, during his first failed run for president, he called for strategic fencing along parts of the border. He said, if you build a 30-foot wall from El Paso to Brownsville, the 35-foot ladder business gets real good. So, my friends, the fog is lifting, and we don't know where it's going to end up, nor how long Rick Perry will last in the NSC position, but we do know that Steve Bannon is out. And as your secretary, Rick Perry was added to the National Security Council, reinstating the head of the Energy Department to the council after removing him in February. Steve Bannon gone. Wow, this is a big one. Big deal. Trump boots Bannon from NSC. Is it good or bad? What do you think he'll do next? He's also shifted on Syria. Why, just last week he was for Assad. Now this week he's against Assad. He said it all changed with the use of the poisonous gas against innocent civilians. Russians claim that it was not the Syrians who unleashed the toxic gas on the Syrian civilian population, but it was the so-called U.S.-backed rebels. It's the same story all over again. How do we really know who released this toxic gas? And I don't know what the gas is. It's sarin gas? Who did it? Do we know who did it? Will we ever know who did it? During today's press conference between the president and the president of the king of Jordan, King Abdullah, who's a very educated man, he said, Syria's civil war has gone on for 7 years, said Abdullah. And he said it has descended into proxy wars with dubious agendas. Proxy wars with dubious agendas. We don't know whose side we're on anymore. Iran is with Assad. We're against Iran, so therefore against Assad. Which side is Russia on? Which side are we on? Which side is Israel on? Why is Israel not even involved in this war? Why has Israel not fired a shot in the Syrian civil war? Why have we never seen one airplane from the Israel Defense Forces ever fire a missile at an ISIS truck? Does anyone have an answer to any of these questions? Well, I don't need your rocking chair. Let's hear some George Jones again. The studio. I hate touring. That's why I'm still able to do this. And he says, I ain't ready for the junkyard yet because I still feel like a new Corvette. It might take a little longer, but I'll get there. Oh, this is a family show. He said, well, but I don't need your rocking chair. It's the same thing over and over again. That's the beautiful thing about country songs is they repeat the same refrain, the same stanza over and over and over again. My body's old, but it ain't impaired. Well, I don't need this rocking chair. Retirement don't fit in my plans. You can keep your seat. I'm going to stand. An Eskimo needs a Frigidaire like I need your rocking chair. You could see why American country music is so widely accepted across this land. I had my party Saturday night with 50 close friends, some associates, some acquaintances. It was lovely. The star of the show was not me. It was my granddaughter. I got to tell you what that thrill is like. If you don't have one, get one. But first, you got to get a wife. The hardest thing in the world for those of you out there is to understand that without family, there is no civilization. The family is the building block of a society, which is why the American degenerate left, the sick, degenerate perverts on the American left, have gone after the American family, lock, stock, and barrel. The ethnic groups don't listen to them. The ethnic groups understand that it's all about family. But the white man, where's the white man's family in this country? The white man won't even marry a woman of any race. White man doesn't have children. White man doesn't have the manhood to raise a child. White man leaves the family, just wants to have a party. I'll talk about that at another time because it sounds like I'm angry. I could care less what you do, frankly. If that's all you're capable of, don't have children. They'll be rotten children. If you don't want them, don't have them. If you don't have the guts to have a child and raise a child, don't have one. Don't walk out on your family just because you want to have a good time. Bannon loses power, White House shakeup, Rick Perry to fill void. So that was a great party. Then next day we flew up to Park City, Utah. I'd never been there. Horrible. Horrible, 9,000 feet. Altitude sickness. The most horrendous landscape in the history of the world is between Park City and Salt Lake City, Utah. No offense meant. Love the people I met in Utah. I love the Mormon people. I do. I generally have never met a Mormon I didn't like. That's the absolute truth. They're the nicest people on the planet. In fact, I stopped into a genealogy office in Park City. You see, I don't ski. I was bored out of my gourd in the hotel waiting to leave. I couldn't stand another second up there. It's such a horrible landscape. What do people pay $5, $10 million for a condominium for what? To walk out of their condo and go skiing. Okay, I get it. You know, one man's meat is another man's poison. But nevertheless, I went down to do some shopping in the town. And I stumbled into a genealogy office run by the Mormons. They were the nicest old people I've ever... I felt as though I had gone into, like, a clearinghouse for heaven. They were all very old, very thin, very quiet. They whispered. They have some genealogy machine where you put your name in. It's supposed to tell you who your ancestors are. Well, there were a few other people in the genealogy shop. They put their names in. They did all the prompts. And lo and behold, there was their great-grandfather, was an Indian chief. I put it in, and eight times it came back, cannot find the server. They couldn't get into the computer, my name, no matter what they did. So they called somebody in a vault somewhere in a mountain. It's another one, from Sister Mary to Brother Johnny to Grandmaster Hillbilly. And he said to me, well, let's try the other computer. Nothing. They couldn't get into the computer. So I said to myself, you know what? God doesn't want me here right now, so have a nice day. I'm leaving. Nice experience. Very nice experience. Good thing I don't ski. But here we are. We're going to talk about what today? Bannon loses power in White House shakeup. Rick Perry to fill void. That tells you everything you need to know. What more do you need to know? What more do you need to know? Incidentally, Matt Drudge made an ultra-rare appearance on this show on Friday. Some of you heard it. My diehard fans heard it. They loved it. It was picked up by gentlemen on Fox News, Eric Bolling. He made a big deal of it. It was picked up by a lot of different companies. And we got the Gorsuch thing to talk about. In fact, I bought some coats from a store up there named Gorsuch's Men's Store. I was walking around Park City. There was Gorsuch. I had to go in there. I wanted to know if they knew the next Supreme Court justice. They said, well, no, he's a distant relative. I said, I'll take two. He said, two of what? You haven't picked anything yet. Whatever I pick, I want two of because I like the name. So I picked two coats. Two hats, a belt, cowboy hat, came back looking like a hillbilly. Actually, like a cowbilly. In fact, I'm not the kind of guy who likes to dress up like a cowboy. I'm not George Bush. But the thing is, I got the big hat, got a Western coat with fleece lining, looked at myself in the mirror when I came home down at sea level. And I said, well, what's this about, man? What are you trying to do, acting Brokeback Mountain? What is this? What's this cowboy outfit? I laughed at myself, had a good time. Don't know if I'll ever wear it outside of the house. I'm not into Midnight Cowboy myself, but nevertheless, it looks nice in the bedroom. there's other stories I picked. I'm going to read you my headlines on the other stories. I'm putting the Polaroids away of my granddaughter and all the nice people who came to my party. Yeah, don't let me get started on the party for a minute. I don't want to talk about it. Let's see, headlines. Neil Gorsuch is fakely accused of plagiarism. Such a bunch of garbage. Politico, as you well know, is a front group for the Democrat Party. Politico has no credibility whatsoever. It's run by Soviet-era hacks claiming that Neil Gorsuch committed plagiarism. This guy is so beyond them. The Lilliputians at Politico could not write a comma compared to Neil Gorsuch's dissertation. In fact, here's how bizarre this is. The idiots at Politico, the evil Soviet idiots, they're actually worse than Media Matters. Politico today is worse than Media Matters at its heyday. It says, one example cited by Politico's John Bresnahan. Hey, John, I don't know where you came from, but you're a disgrace to the Bresnahan name. Your ancestors are rolling over in heaven. And Burgess Everett, you of Politico, if you have ancestors, if you weren't made in a factory, your ancestors are rolling over in their grave. They said that some passages in Neil Gorsuch's book, which was adapted from his Oxford University dissertation, seemed to be lifted from an article originally published in the Indiana Law Journal. Now, Gorsuch apparently cited the sources used by the article's author, Abigail Kuzma, while using her verbiage nearly word for word without crediting her. So they went to Mrs. Kuzma, Miss Kuzma, and guess what she said? Miss Kuzma is now Indiana's attorney, deputy attorney general. She said, these passages are factual, not analytical in nature. It would have been awkward and difficult for Judge Gorsuch to have used different language. So the person they're claiming he stole it from is saying he didn't steal it. Listen, I have a real dissertation that's published in a real publication. And nobody at Politico has a real dissertation in anything other than propaganda. It's sickening. Next one. Vicious left uses Soviets at Politico and BuzzFeed to attack Gorsuch. Next one. This is a tough one for me because many of you are firemen and cops. And you know I support firemen and cops somewhat. Not categorically, but let's say generally. So today's New York Post has an article showing former city cops fishing, sailing, working out. These guys claim that they were unable to work due to mental illnesses, including post-traumatic stress disorder, anxiety, and depression. Many falsely said they suffered the psychiatric ailments after searching for victims at Ground Zero. Okay? Leading authorities to blast them for dishonoring and disgracing first responders who died in the September 11th terror attacks. But using online photos that showed the crooked cops and firemen who each pilfered around $30,000 to $50,000 a year, some for 15 years. For example, ex-NYPD cop Glenn Lieberman, whose claim to have assisted at Ground Zero was revealed as a lie, posed for a picture while seated on a Sea-Doo while he was collecting disability payments. Then there's another one. Ex-cop Richard Constantino posted a Facebook photo of the genius that showed him with his mouth agape while gripping an enormous sailfish during a fishing trip to Costa Rica, also accepting disability payments. In 2015, he pled guilty to second-degree grand larceny in exchange for a conditional discharge and an order to pay $207,000 in restitution. So cops and firemen caught on disability pension scams. Here's the question of the day, a secondary question. Any pension scammers you know of? I know a lot of people get agitated over this. Any pension scammers you know of, not limited to cops and firemen, plenty of them out there. Countries filled with deadbeats. Trump boots Bannon from NSC, replaces him with Rick Perry, open borders man. My trip to Park City, Utah, not. Let's see what else I talked about just now. Again, Bannon. Keep coming back. I keep flipping the pages, and it comes back to Bannon. Bannon. All right, whatever you want to talk about, I'm here. Be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Food was good. There wasn't enough of it, but it was very good. Because you know what it is? You know, it was a great meal in an Italian restaurant in the back garden for 50 friends. But let's put it to you this way. It was family style. Now, family style works if you have a family that's not greedy. But apparently when he started sending the food down the line, some people took like half the plate. So in other words, he said, I made 50 portions of fish. By the time it got to the front at the end of it, there was no fish left because someone took 8 portions. You know, there are people like that. I said to someone, how was the pasta? She said, I didn't get it. The guy next to me shoveled the whole plate into his plate. The same guy comes to every party. He takes a bottle of wine home in his coat. I invite him just for the fun of it. I don't talk to him except at the one party I run a year just to ridicule him because I know what behavior he's going to. The wife fainted from exhaustion from drinking all the wine she could guzzle as fast as she could. They had a reviver. She knocked down a bottle before the party started. They said, well, what's the matter? She couldn't even tell him.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Look, I'd rather be on vacation. Dog's going crazy. This is going wrong. I'm an assistant that can't manage a dog that can't manage himself. See, this is what I got to show you. I hire an assistant full-time, and a dog's barking in the background. He's not here. That's all. I gave you 15 topics, ladies and gentlemen, in the Savage Nation. Count them, 15 topics. I have calls on one of them, and I'm not taking them. Charles in FTL says Israel can't attack ISIS, would rally entire Arab community. Thanks, Charles, I'm not taking the call. Harry on KSFO says Perry like having a busboy take over for head chef. Not taking the call. Bob on WABC says he's retired and he was encouraged to seek out disability. I'm not taking the call. So now let's clean the board out and start again. It's hard coming back from vacation because of a few things. Number one, you realize there's a world outside of talk radio. People don't even listen to it. You travel around the country. What are they doing, the average person? Living? They're not sitting at the edge of their seat listening to someone talk through a speaker or in their headphone. Only the intelligent people are. The average American is not intelligent, incidentally, in case you haven't learned that yet. It's like walking around a stockyard throughout most of America. If you put horns on their head and they mooed instead of grunting, you'd have about the equivalent of what you see in most places in America. I don't know how the country goes on, to be honest with you, but nevertheless, that's their problem, not mine. And you come back and you see a game changer everywhere you look. Bannon is out, and he's replaced not with a conservative, but Rick Perry, an open borders guy. So that says, what more do you have to say? Last week Trump was on the side of Assad and on the side of Russia. Now there's a chemical attack. We don't know who launched it. And today the president says Syria did it, and it's an affront to humanity. And now he's against Russia and Assad, which should make the liberals happy. So if you look at which way, not the cookie crumbles, which way the, remember those things in the 60s when people were stoned all the time, before now when they're stoned more than all the time? They had the things you put in your eye that you turned around in the age of the hippie and the Beatles. Well, I don't know what they called them. They're like changed crystals in a looking thing in your eye. That's what the world is like right now. So now Trump is against Assad and against Russia, so he's agreeing with the liberals. Or that Russia's no good. And the same day that Russia is denying Assad is to blame, they've launched their most powerful nuclear attack submarine yet. And Russia, to top it off, says they're going to build a rival space station with China. And to top it off, Trump threatens North Korea, which is what he should do. And China says, because China's on the way to Mar-a-Lago, China, the whole China, all of China, all billion people of China on the way to Mar-a-Lago. And there's 168 or so people in there. Why do they travel with so many people to China? He's like a buffet. What's he going to set up for them to eat there? He's got 170 Chinese people in a delegation coming to Mar-a-Lago. Where are they putting them up? They'll have to put them up in a Jewish retirement community somewhere in Boca Raton. I can name a few. They're empty. You can't put them up in Mar-a-Lago. How are you going to feed all those people from China? Why is he traveling with all of them? What do they do for that guy from China, the head guy from China? So China's on the way to Mar-a-Lago. All of China, all billion people is on the way tomorrow. The head of China, okay, Z. His name is Z. It's funny, it was a movie in the 60s called Z, but it was not Z, X-I, it was Z. The letter Z. Great movie by Costa Gavras. I can never pronounce that filmmaker's name. It's not Costa Gavras. It was Costa Gavras, if I remember correctly. What a great movie. But nevertheless, I'm getting distracted here. So China's coming in to have heavy negotiations with the president over, will he actually impose tariffs, which I've called for in Trump's war, scorched earth, the coming civil war? No. I'll tell you what, I'll lay a bet on the table right now that we don't get tariffs on Chinese goods after this meeting. Not a dime. That's going to be nothing, zero, nothing, nada. That's number one. And revaluing the currency, revaluing China's currency, not going to happen. Not going to do it. Zero. Because behind the scenes, I know who's controlling the thing here. It's him again. He's back. Take a guess who's whispering in the president's ear just before this trip. That's right. It's Hanky Kissinger. Old Hank is back. And as you well know, he's a very, very, very famous China hand. Yes, indeedy, my friends. And therefore, there will be nothing done with China. That's Mike's prediction. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe it's a bad thing. But I don't think we're getting much out of that deal. Vacation. I'm not going to talk about it, boy, to death, but I will tell you something that occurred that is worthy of note for this important audience called the Savage Nation. Okay. So I get to the hotel in Park City, and they have a free buffet that ended by the time I got there. One of those, it was nothing, marshmallows anyway, and coffee. It was late in the day. So I said, the guy says, no, it just closed. I said, oh, missed it, huh? Guy says, are you Michael Savage? I said, yeah. He said, well, I listen to you all the time. I said, how? I'm not on a city station up here in Salt Lake City. He said, no, but I listen to you online. The minute I say that, a man comes over and says, can I shake your hand? I'm from St. Louis. He said, I listen to you online. Do you have any idea how many people listen to this show online? It's not that there aren't people listening on stations. They are. But the largest audience is the online audience now. It's exceeding everything you can imagine. And it's not even counted. They don't know how to, no one knows how big it is. The only company that tabulates this is TalkStream Live. And they've shown I have a 25 share of people who listen to talk radio. Rush, as good as he may be, only has a 13.7 share, the last I checked, online. So there's a huge audience of listeners who listen to this show online. They have an iPhone or wherever they are, they get the show. Pretty amazing. What I'm saying to you is the reach of the show is much bigger than even I think it is. So now having said that, I got to tell you about a dream. I do this once in a while. I just share dreams with you if they're important. Remember I did the White Owl about a year and a half ago? Painted it. Great painting. One day I'll sell it and give the money to charity. Great. It's probably one of my better paintings is the White Owl. Very, very deep texture. So anyway, I had a dream last night. Listen to this. It's an anxiety-ridden dream. I know I have to come back on the air today, right? So my subconscious probably goes into a state of alert. I have a dream. I'm back at university, and I'm going for a second PhD. And I've completed all my coursework, but I have to take an exam. I've gotten to the place of the exam for my second PhD, and I don't have my eyeglasses. And I can't take the exam without my reading glasses. So I say to the educrats who were there, I don't have my glasses. Well, they say, well, the exam starts in 18 minutes. I said, in order to get the glasses, I have to go home and get them and come back, and I'll miss the test. They said, sorry, that's the way it works. So I go through this anxiety in the dream. And then it dawns on me, I say to the educrat, I said, wait a minute, I have a PhD, I'm just doing the second one for fun. I don't really need it. And the minute I say I don't really need it, all the anxiety leaves me. Now, what is that dream? That dream is that this show, this radio show, is like going for a second doctorate every day. Each day's show, each three-hour show is like getting a PhD to do it right. You have to get it just right or you're dead in the water. One wrong word and you're finished. So the question is, why do I really care? It is what it is. I don't really need it, is what I'm saying to you, but I have to do it because I enjoy doing it. So because I enjoy doing it, I do it better than if I really cared about it, in the sense of cared about making it perfect. If you want to do something so perfectly, you usually screw it up, is what I'm saying. But if you relax about it and just do it as well as you can, you do it better. It's the same whether it's driving a race car or driving your life. If you tense up on it, you're going to crash the car. I think that's what the dream means. Don't worry about it, man. It's just a show. And having said that, I'm telling you that I see things as they are from my point of view. So I say to you, Bannon loses power, White House shakeup, which is the headline on Drudge. And right underneath it, it comes out 30 minutes ago, Rick Perry to fill void. That unto itself tells you everything. The right is out and the left is in. That's number one. Last week we were for Assad and for Russia. Now we're against Assad and against Russia. That tells you again, it moved to the left. It means the Democrats are suddenly moving the entire administration from within. That's what I see going on. I shouldn't say it. There goes the dessert. There goes the Lincoln bedroom. I was going to take a MyPillow with me anyway. Let's say the president does invite me to the White House. I have to bring a MyPillow with me. They're an advertiser, but I have to take them. Now that I said that, I have to carry a Swiss America gold coin with me. Let's see what else. I have to take a pack of Super Beats with me. Eye cream. Oh, lighten up, Mike. What should I get? Neil Gorsuch, we could talk. No one even knows who he is. No one knows. I mean, they know he's going to be he's going to win anyway. You know what I love about that one? Is that McCain goes crazy on the nuclear option. And listen to the sick. McCain is so senile and deranged. We know this. Listen to 06. You got to hear this.
Some people try to say that once this is done and dead and hated, the Senate will be a better place because of this lingering fight.
I would like to meet that idiot. I would like to meet that numbskull that would say that. That after 200 years, at least 100 years of this tradition where the Senate has functioned pretty well, they think it'd be a good idea to blow it up. Whoever says that is a stupid idiot who has not been here and seen what I've been through and how we were able to avoid that on several occasions. And they're stupid and they've deceived their voters because they're so stupid.
How many times can Senator McCain say they're stupid without exhibiting the very same behavior he's talking about? The nuclear option, so-called, was invented and developed by none other than Harry Reid. And it's time the Republicans got a Harry Reid on their team. See, this is the missing part of the whole. You want to just talk Dem Republican for a minute? The Republicans lack someone with the guts of Harry Reid. He was an ex-pugilist, an ex-prize fighter. So far as I know, there's no one in the Republican Party who is as tough and as mean as Harry Reid. They need someone as mean as a reptile on their team in order to do these things, in order to win. They can't have these milquetoasts out there and expect to win a battle. They're in a fight for the life of America. So, yeah, we need the nuclear option, and Gorsuch must be appointed, and then three more Supreme Court justices, and you know what? The rest is gravy. It's that simple. If we get four justices appointed by President Trump, the rest is gravy as far as I'm concerned. It's as simple as that. That's all. I could see no one's listening to the show right now. Or they're listening so intently that they're not calling. I got like three calls now that replaced the three I said I'm not taking. So what am I going to do about it? Take the calls. That's all. KSFO Online. Bob, line four. What's on your mind? Already a hum. Go ahead, Bob. Go ahead.
Hey, Michael.
Yes.
I'm not calling from an SFO. I'm calling from Ohio.
Okay. Well, what's your point?
I was listening online. You were mentioning all half of your listeners are online. We don't have anybody. I'm from Dayton, Ohio, but they don't have the station anymore. I love your interview with Drudge on Friday.
That's right. A lot of the people in the radio business are afraid to take the Savage Nation because they don't have the concept of how big the show actually is. It's probably the most popular and important radio show in the United States of America, if not the world. But a lot of people are afraid to take the show because it's too truthful. And so, unfortunately, therefore, people are switching and listening to it online. If they don't take it, they lose the audience. What can you do? I thank you for calling. This is the Savage Nation, in case you don't know what you're listening to. The open line is 855-407-2822. 855-407-2822. Rand Paul says, Gorsuch is beyond reproach. I agree with Rand Paul. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
It is the Savage Nation. I got to ask you something. Do you have an old cell phone to donate or resell? Be careful. Listen to me. Thieves who purchase old phones, well, some of them apply scanning technology to find personal information they can use to recreate identities and open new accounts before getting rid of your old phone. Please take 5 minutes to remove your SIM or SD card, encrypt your data, and wipe it clean with a reset. It's time well spent. Identity theft happens to be America's fastest growing crime. It happens when thieves use your information to pretend that they're you. They then buy things on your credit, liquidate your bank accounts, or even get your retirement funds. That's why I have LifeLock, and you should too. LifeLock scans hundreds of millions of transactions each second. If they detect your info being used, they send you an alert. If you have a problem, a U.S.-based agent will work to fix it. That's different than free credit monitoring, which only alerts you to changes in credit. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock is the best identity theft protection that is available. Membership starts at only $9.99 a month plus applicable taxes, so go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code SAVAGE. That's SAVAGE for 10% off your LifeLock Ultimate Plus membership. Go to LifeLock.com, Savage, and save 10% right now. Hate crime just happened up there. Possible hate crime leaves man bloodied at gas pump. See, a guy was towing his boat up from Florida to his home in New Jersey, off I-95 in central Virginia. White man, white wife. Wife goes into the bathroom. Black woman comes at him with a claw hammer, screaming, "I hate fancy white people." Are you listening to me? Now, the hatred in America that has come to the surface because of 8 years of hatred coming from Obama is now coming home to roost. The man tried to ignore her. He was at a gas station pumping gas. But she pulled out a hammer and screamed, "I'm going to put a hole in your fancy boat." Grabs a hammer. Took a hammer, hits the vehicle, the Porsche, and the boat, said Sheriff Leeper. She actually clawed him in the head. So the man took her down to the ground to prevent her from doing any more damage. "I let her go and she grabbed the hammer again and hit the boat again," Bob said. "The hammer broke. That's when the attacker figured she better get out of there because she didn't have a weapon anymore." Are you listening to this? The woman was identified as Angela Jones, 26, of Newark, New Jersey. Bob's wife, who was in the gas station bathroom during the attack, returned to find her bloodied husband. Are you listening to this? During the attack, the couple said the woman screamed at them she was, quote, "sick of fancy white people," unquote. New Jersey State Police were contacted in an effort to find Jones. She has since been arrested. She is wanted in Caroline County on charges of malicious wounding, assault, and destruction of property. I guess this is a case for Charles Schumer and the Democrat Party to start screaming about racism and sexism. But it's not a laughing matter what Obama has done to race relations in this nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is.
Barry Manilow is gay. That's really earth-shattering. I'm telling you, America will come to a halt. The ski slopes will stop running. I mean, the lifts. Ski lifts will stop lifting. The buses will stop running. The subways won't run on time. Every time their careers go into a tailspin, they claim that they were molested or they're gay. You notice that in the entertainment world? Like, who cares what he does with his private life? It's more than I want to know about him. I don't want to imagine anything about him in that situation, if you don't mind. Manilow comes out as gay. Do we have to call him something new now, like Womanilow or Manny High? What do we call him now? Oh, it's not a trans thing. He's just gay. Okay, that's old stuff. Plain gay today is like Ma and Pa Kettle. Do you realize that that's how crazy the society has become? I can imagine that the gay people are considered like old-fashioned now to the trans community, like very boring. Oh, you're gay, big deal. Whatever. 52% say Clinton should be part of Russia probe. No one cares. Trump bump, 46% approve. Mideast peace process. Eh. The big thing is the banner, but no one's calling about it. I see what it is. You probably do, too, and there's nothing to say about it. So I think I should start this hour by talking about other stuff. I've given you all the stuff that really is worthwhile. McConnell is saying Gorsuch will be confirmed this week. That's good that McConnell's going to pull the nuclear option. That's all I can say. And I think it's a done deal because even the Pocahontas, Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts, Pocahontas is saying if the GOP jams through Gorsuch, they'll own every extreme decision. And then what? You know, they act as though they don't have any extremists on the bench, right? Like they didn't give us Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who had been the head of the ACLU legal department. You hear this? Ruth Bader Ginsburg is the most radical extremist in the history of the U.S. Supreme Court. You know that old witch on the Supreme Court with the looks like she has not a broomstick to fear, that she has a closet filled with broomsticks from every place on earth? That mean, nasty, left-wing fanatic, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, was the former head of the ACLU legal department. That's not an extremist? So now they put a moderate on. They want to put Gorsuch on. By any stretch of the imagination, he's not an extremist. He is a centrist. He is a constitutionalist. He's now an extremist to the fanatics on the left. So here she's saying, oh, if we jam through Gorsuch, they'll own every... Here is clip 9 with Pocahontas, Elizabeth Warren.
Republicans have a choice. They can tell President Trump to send a new nominee. A Main Street nominee who can earn broad support.
Please!
They can jam through this nominee.
Yes, jam it.
If they do jam through Judge Gorsuch, the Republicans will own the Gorsuch Court.
Good.
And every extreme 5-4 decision that comes out of it.
Yeah, okay. Well, you knocked the other one off your team. You sent them down to the border hotel there. They never came back. You took a one-way trip. Took a one-way trip to southern Texas to the border hotel, never came back. So that's it. That's the good thing. That's the good thing. They should jam it through like the left is jamming things through our whole life. Bannon loses power in White House. Shake up. No one knows who he is. See, the average American out there just came for... This is the problem is if you do talk radio in your studio all the time, you don't see what goes on outside your studio. Most people do not care about these issues. Do you know that? I mean, we read the Drudge Report. We are obsessed with the news. But that's the average American isn't. They don't care. They don't even care. They're running their lives. They could care less about all this crap. The election is over. They have a president. They figure, give him a chance and leave me alone already. It's all, you know, what do you call that? Infighting and this and that. They don't care. They're busy making a living. They're busy trying to raise a family if they have one. They don't pay attention to this little stuff. They don't even know who Bannon is. Do you know that? They never heard of him. Okay, the headline, Bannon Banned. That would be my headline. Bannon Banned. Well, what will he do next is the only question I have. Will it be Fox News or MSNBC? That's all I'm thinking about. What career is he going to take in the media? Because he got great recognition right now. He could write a book, make a lot of money. The inside story to blows whistle on Trump administration to get even. That would be a book. My God. Speaking of which, you know, I'm going to say it. I know you don't want to hear it, but I'll say it again. Trump's war was everywhere I went. Every Barnes & Noble, every big bookstore I stopped in, there it was. And I don't mean all 10 copies that they order. Like, it was down to 2. They're selling. Salt Lake City Barnes & Noble, I picture me. There it is. I actually signed the books in the Salt Lake City Barnes & Noble. The book is selling like crazy. It outsold Donald Trump's own book. Did you hear that story? How could this little radio show outsell the president's Trump book? I mean, Trump's war outsold the president's Making America Great Again book. Why? Because apparently the truth sells. The truth sells. They hear the plain truth with me. They may not like it. They may not agree with a lot of what I say or everything I say, but they feel they're listening to a guy who's telling them, calling him like he sees it, which I am. You know, the buck stops here. His, look, what I said today, that's going to banish me from the dessert. The dessert table's over. King Arthur's court is not going to have Savage on it, probably, because I said a few things that I felt were real and had to be said about Syria, about the movement against the border wall, about that I fear there's going to be no tariffs on China. I don't think I'm going to have dessert again there. I hope so. In fact, the president should double his efforts to have me around him. You know why? Because he needs somebody like me to tell him what's real. What's real is what's important in this world, not the illusion. As Plato wrote, most people only see the shadows on the cave wall. We don't actually see the players. We don't see the figures. All we see are the shadows on the wall of the cave. We don't actually see what's going on. We don't know who the actors are. But I'm a guy who could actually see the x-rays and read them. I read the x-rays on the wall. And if this administration wants to thrive, it's going to have to have people like me telling them what's true, what the average person sees out there. Let's say the cognizant person, someone paying attention to radio, you know. Okay, not as bad as you think, huh? No, sorry, Bob. That's not a big story, huh? Rick Perry's the head now of the National Security Agency? Rick Perry, Mr. Open Borders? The cowboy, the Open Borders cowboy is now, he took over Bannon's job? Rick Perry was George Bush. Rick Perry had a 10-gallon hat. Actually, George Bush had a 10-gallon hat. Rick Perry had a 2-gallon hat. Rick Perry was a wannabe George Bush. Rick Perry ran for office. He got nowhere because he wasn't a conservative. He looked like a conservative. He sounded like a conservative, but he was a John McCain from Texas, in plain English. And having said that, I may as well say this to you. What the heck? It's the first day back. Let it all hang out, as they used to say in the 60s. Trump is going to be another Schwarzenegger if this keeps up. For better or for worse, the Mr. Trump that we know is becoming the Arnold Schwarzenegger that we knew. Remember Schwarzenegger came to power in California? We all cheered. We said, thank God we have the Terminator. Well, we didn't get the Terminator. I don't have a description of what he became. But the minute he hired a certain Ms. Kennedy, who came from the previous Democrat administration, she became chief of staff in California. She then directed the state of California down the toilet bowl. The socialist left is now predominant in California. It's a one-party state. The illegals overran the state because of Schwarzenegger and his follow-up with Moonbeam. And I think that this could happen unless we continue to say, no, Mr. President, that's not what we sent you to Washington to do. And it brings me back again to Trump's war, which is the ultimate guideposts. These are the guideposts of why he was elected. He can't forget it. And I don't think he should forget it. I'm going to try and make sure the president understands that we do remember what we voted for. What did we vote for? I've asked you this over and over again. What did we vote for? What did we vote for? I asked you again. What did we vote for? What did we vote for? The wall, tariffs, deportations, end Obamacare, save our guns, rebuild the military, save our schools, stop late-term abortion, which is infanticide, close down Planned Parenthood, protect our churches and synagogues from the radical left. That's what we voted for. What will the new president do? Well, Michael Savage, in this book, tells us that, yes, I helped push him over the finish line. Yes, all you deplorables who would not have voted, voted. But the fact of the matter is, now what's going on is the real problem. We know that Donald Trump faces relentless opposition from liberals, socialists, etc. We know he faces opposition from the special interests in both parties who stand to lose trillions of dollars if his America First policies do become the law of the land. We know that. And we know that he has to overcome progressive ideologues. We know that. We know he has to overcome neoconservative ventriloquists, most of whom are on the radio. We know he has to overcome connected corporate interests. We know he has to overcome a military-industrial complex bent on permanent war. But what you did not see on the jacket of Trump's war is what I'm going to tell you about right now. I warned you, and I'm going to quote myself, Trump will also have to fight progressive beliefs even he and his otherwise conservative appointees have unwittingly accepted. I said that on the jacket copy of Trump's war because I saw this coming. Don't accuse me of being a goose stepper and just a simple cheerleader for the Trump administration. I know, and I knew, and I see what's happening. I knew this might happen. It's happening. The liberal wing is winning right now. It's prevailing. The conservative wing has been demoted, moved out of the predominant position within the inner circle. The liberal wing is now prevalent. And for better or for worse, you better accept what is going on. And this is most important to the conservatives who put Donald Trump where he is, or the libertarians, or the independents who didn't really know. All they knew was they had to keep her out. Well, if we don't get much change, then what are we going to say? For example, the Border Patrol. Do you know that Mr. Trump has appointed the same Border Patrol chief who was appointed by Obama? Did you know that? And the actual officers on the line are very, very furious. Now, why would he do that? Concurrent with putting in the same guy in charge of all the Border Patrol officers who are on the front lines of the invasion from Mexico, in addition to that, he put in Rick Perry now to replace Bannon, who's an open borders guy. I don't like the tea leaves. I'm sorry. I don't like where this is going. Look, I'm running short of time. It's great to be back with you. I will tell you this. I'm waiting for my lunch to arrive, and if I eat it on air, you will not know it this time. I promise not to let you hear it, but my energy drops off, so I don't think I will eat during the show. I'll stay hungry, I'll stay tense, and I'll stay tuned on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. It is a short segment coming up. It's just speeding along. First day back. Can't believe it's Wednesday already. Let's take some calls, that's all. Charlie on WABC, New York, line 6. Fire away. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Mike, you talk about the liberals taking over the party. I would tell people, don't underestimate the influence of Ivanka. She's got a lot of power and a lot of influence over that man, from everything I've read.
That's right. I mean, blood is thicker than water. There's no question about it.
Mm-hmm. I know. And she was just today saying she has no problem telling him when she disagrees with him, and she's got a lot of influence.
Well, of course a daughter has influence on a father. I understand that. What father wouldn't understand that?
I have two daughters. I understand it exactly.
So, what, having said that Ivanka is influencing the president, what does that mean to you?
What it means is that I think that she espouses a more liberal philosophy than him, and he's more inclined to go along with her on some...
Well, he is being moved to the left. Here's another one. General McChrystal urges Trump not to scrap public broadcasting. Could you believe that a hard guy like General McChrystal is now coming out as a far-left radical, saying don't cut funding for public broadcasting when PBS is an around-the-clock propaganda channel for socialist Democrat philosophies?
Oh, I know.
I'm sending you a copy of Trump's War. It's still in bookstores. You can buy it anywhere. So that's a very big deal. It's a big deal, Charlie. Thanks for calling. Let's see. KSFO Bill, line 9. What's on your mind? 30 seconds or less. Fire away.
Mr. Savage, pleasure to talk to you. First-time caller. I don't think President Trump polarizes people into left wing and right wing. I think he's, just because he's a businessman, he's never categorized people in that method. I think he just looks at people's ideas and what they're saying and not as the person and polarizing them to left wing or right wing. I think that's why he is stumbling. I don't know if he's going to become a Schwarzenegger. Maybe he will.
You're saying that his popularity has gone down owing to the fact that he's not committed to any ideology. Is that what you're saying?
yeah, he's not an ideological person. However, you know, the media is beating him left and right day by day. That's causing his popularity to drop as well.
Absolutely. It's the constant propaganda from Wolf Blitzer and Jake Tapper and the Soviet outlets like Politico and BuzzFeed. This nonstop attacking is driving him down, yet his approval ratings just went up. Trump bumped 46% approve. Rasmussen, daily presidential tracking poll for Wednesday, shows that 46% of likely voters approve of Trump's job performance. 54% disapprove. So it's changing a little bit. He took a terrible beating after the debacle of the Obamacare attacks that didn't work. The American people don't like a loser. Americans don't like a loser. They like a winner. Let me tell you that right now. And they saw him as having taken on a battle that he lost. And that's why his popularity went down. And he should learn a lesson from that, which is never bring a bill before Congress that you know is not going to, unless you know you got the votes to pass it. And also don't use tactics of threatening and bullying in advance of such a vote publicly. That's so wrong. That's so wrong. It didn't work. And they saw that. They didn't like it. But jobs are way up. Jobs are way up, and people care about that. So it's a fluid situation. Very, very fluid situation. This is the Savage Nation. Many topics. Phone number is 855-407-282. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Nothing. It's nothing earth-shattering. Steve Bannon's out. No one knows who he is. You drive around America, you think they know who he is. It's not a household name. It's not like Barry Manilow. That's the biggest story to them, that he came out as he's gay. That Manilow did. If you stopped in a gas station pumping gas and a guy was across the pump from you and you wanted to chat, they would know who Barry Manilow is. They wouldn't know who Steve Bannon was. I never heard of him. So it's to them, it's just internal, you know, fighting over power struggle. But when an entertainer comes out as gay, that they know. That's a big deal, apparently. I don't know why. I don't know how. I don't know who. I don't want to care. I don't care one way or the other. I never liked the singing to begin with. You like it? Good luck to you. It's a huge universe. You can like, not like. Some like me, don't like me. Why would they want to know anything about my, let's say, digestion? Do I chew 20 times? Savage says he doesn't chew 20 times for each bite. Eats like a wolf. Oh, that would stop. Why would you care about my alimentation any more than you would care about Barry Manilow's sexuality? To me, it's the same thing. It's a bodily function. Leave me alone already with this stuff. When the records start to die off already, they come out either as a victim and molested as a youth, or they give you their sexual orientation when you don't even care. Did you notice that? With the actresses, once no one looks at them anymore, they're, oh, I was molested when I was five. Okay, next. Oh, wow, let's have her on Good Morning America. She got out the tears and the napkin. Everyone was molested at five. You say Rick Perry appointed to the National Security Council, they wouldn't know what you're talking about. No one knows what the NSC is to begin with. Rick Perry, big deal. We know he's a liberal. Open borders. We know that the head of the Border Patrol that Trump appointed, same one that Obama appointed. Bingo, end of story. China's coming to town. The head of China with a delegation that wraps around the moon. What do you think's going to happen there? Nothing. No tariffs. No revaluation of the yen. Not the no revaluation of China's currency, the yuan, sorry. I confuse yen with yuan. Excuse me. No revaluation of the money that we were promised. Nothing. Nothing will happen. Nothing. I'll go home, bow, and scrape, and that'll be the end of it. Mark on WFTL, line 3, what's on your mind?
Michael, I noticed right away as soon as Trump took over, he started changing the relationship with Israel. He said that he was going to move the embassy to Jerusalem. He was going to recognize Jerusalem as the capital. He gets this clown named Mattis that we have as a general, who insists that Tel Aviv is the capital and not Jerusalem. And then he had this Michael Flynn, a very strange situation developed. You may recall where Flynn went out and tweeted. He just did this after a whole bunch of information on Hillary came out publicly, and he tweets, "No more Jews, not anymore Jews." And then he claims
what did Flynn say? Not anymore Jews where?
All about.
Wait, stop. Slow down. I know you're excited. Flynn said no more Jews where?
Michael Flynn did it. He went and tweeted Not any more Jews. Not any more.
What does he mean? Wait, what does he mean by not any more Jews? Jews what?
This was when the newspaper, when the papers came out that exposed Hillary Clinton for committing crimes, and then he got, he seemed to be upset with whoever released the documents showing that Hillary Clinton was acting improperly and in a treasonous manner.
Flynn said no. How do you know Flynn didn't say no more news? Maybe he meant news, not Jews.
No, he said Jews. And that was it.
How do you, because sometimes people are so sensitive to that issue that they hear it anywhere. They go into a, let's say they're on the road, and they go out to have some orange juice. I mean, people are overly sensitive. Hear the word Jew. They say, what did he say, orange Jews?
Well, first of all, we had over 100,000 Nazi war criminals hidden all over the world by the people.
Oh, here we go. Oh, so you're into that. You're into that paranoia now. The World War II never ended.
What never ended?
To you, World War II is still being fought.
No, actually, there was a secret treaty of Fort Hunt that ended it. You could go online and read the whole treaty. It had to do with...
No, but you're still fighting World War II. Mark, you seem to be fighting World War II, right?
No, I'm not fighting it. I'm telling you, if you go online right now, you could get all the papers that were classified that are on there about...
Okay, well, what? I don't understand your point. What is your main point? Flynn said no more juice?
No. After the newspapers were released, not the newspapers, the documents...
Let me start at the top. No one knows who Flynn is. He was fired, right? Was he good or bad for Israel? Let's start with that.
Tweeted this and then went and erased it.
No, I'm saying, but I'm hearing you, but there used to be a joke in New York where everybody would break it down to, is he good or bad for Israel? Was Flynn good or bad for Israel?
Not anymore. That's what he tweeted.
You're not answering me. Was Flynn good or bad for Israel at the time? Which way was he?
Which way was he about what?
Israel!
Well, I would say the guy's a Jew hater. I don't believe he had anything.
Here we go again. Why do you say Flynn was a Jew hater? Okay, let's turn it around. What about Bannon? Was he also anti-Semitic?
I don't know. I heard that some people claim he was and some claim he wasn't. I don't have all.
Okay, this is rumor. This is false information put out by the forces that are putting out false information about Donald Trump. And you're buying it hook, line, and sinker. You can't believe this stuff. I have never seen any indication that either of these men were for or against Semites. I don't understand where this is coming from. But what's your main point today? I don't quite understand what you're saying. Trump is not committing himself to Israel sufficient for you? Is that it?
Okay. This guy tries to present himself as being pro-American, anti-Hillary Clinton. So these documents that are classified, top secret, they're dumped.
Hold it. Stop with the documents. Just tell me in plain English what you're disappointed in regarding Donald Trump and Israel. What has he done to disappoint you? Do you remember when Netanyahu came here 3 weeks ago? It was a love affair. Where's the bad stuff with Israel here?
I think I just told you. He tweeted no more Jews, not any more Jews.
Wait. Who said no more Jews?
What?
This guy, I'll tell you the truth. I'll give you one more shot.
Okay.
The president never did that. This is a national radio show. You're purposely obfuscating what you're saying to smear Donald Trump is what I'm hearing.
It did that. What do you mean the president?
All right, have a nice day. This is like right out of an old age home in Boca Raton. My mother, may she rest in peace. There were people like this in Century Village. Whatever you'd say to them, they'd argue with you. You'd say, how's the weather today? What are you asking me that for? Whatever you'd say. Have a nice day. How dare you say have a nice day? Who are you to say have a nice day? Do I know you? This is the kind of caller I just had. Whatever you say to them, they argue with you. Look, I can't help it that the man lost his wife years ago, and he's alone somewhere in Fort Lauderdale, arguing with me. I don't know what he was talking about. To him, everyone's an anti-Semite. You pick up a stone, he sees an anti-Semite. You put down a stone, he says the rock is anti-Semitic. There's people who are crazy on this subject. I don't know what he was talking about. I think he was a smear artist trying to obfuscate what he was saying about General Flynn with Trump, so that in the middle of it, if you heard it, you say Trump. That's what he's trying to do. Smear. It was a smear job. He may be working for Politico or BuzzFeed. That's what he sounds like to me. Because, like, the voice was good, but underneath it was crazy. Crazy. A Century Village inhabitant. If you say the sky is blue, he'd say, where is it blue? What do you mean blue? Look, there's a white cloud. So what do you mean? I just mean I'm saying it nicely. He said, blue sky. Why? Because your problem that it's a blue sky? Why are you telling me it's a blue sky? What, you got something you're selling me? All right, let's not argue over the sky. How are you feeling today? What's your business how I'm feeling? You don't know me. Why are you asking me? This is the kind of personality you get in Florida. The Hanging Chad people. The Hanging Chad folks live down there. That's why I love it so much. I remember when my mother went into the assisted living. It wasn't funny because, God rest her soul, there was a guy on her floor who was in his 50s. He had Alzheimer's. He had been a doctor, 55 years old, looked perfectly healthy, normal. I was afraid for her life when I went there. I thought he'd kill me with a steak knife. You didn't know what he would do. He was a big guy, too. Big guy, looked perfectly normal. But I heard he was like, you know, whatever. But you don't know. Then I was afraid to leave her in there. I don't know what he was going to do. You don't know. I don't understand why they mix like that. An older woman on a floor with a guy 50, like in his 6'5", big guy, steak knife. You know, even a plastic knife can be dangerous in an assisted living. You don't know what they're going to do. It's not a laughing matter. I lighten things up. I have a gallows sense of humor because it's the way of all flesh. We all wind up there. Your whole life you try to avoid cancer or heart attack. You struggle every minute. You eat right. You take antioxidants. You don't do this. You don't do that. You don't inhale toxicants. And then one day you find out that if you live long enough to not get cancer or heart attack, you wind up alone anyway in an old age home, pushed into a corner, unmoving, facing a curtain, an old curtain. And then one of the orderlies beat you about the head and neck so that no one sees it with like a soft object and takes the change that your family gives you when they come in once a year. That's the end of all of us. In other words, if you avoid heart attack or cancer, don't die young. So what do you got to look forward to? The old age home. It's a real bargain. It's a total bargain. So my Mexican friend said to me the other day, he said, Michael, this is hell here on earth. He said, we believe that this is a hell. He said, this is actually a punishment. I said, maybe where you came from. But we all struggle. I don't want to go into it. We're all crucified one way or the other. When you think about it, some more so than others. You see a crippled child, you could say there's extremes. I understand that. Are you telling me if you're listening to this show, in some way you're not agonizing? Everyone on earth has agony. I don't care if they look happy and they're skiing. There's agony underneath the surface. I don't care if they're on a yacht celebrating with 18 girlfriends. They're in agony. At some point, there's agony. The human condition is agonizing. Again, I'm going to bum you out, but I see things as they are. Don't say it's because I'm an older guy. I'm telling you how it is. You look back when you were 20, for example. You think you were carefree and happy? You weren't. You were agitated. You didn't know what you were doing with yourself. You did everything that the other guys did and didn't know what you were doing. So if they drank rum and coke when they're in Florida, you drank rum and coke. Then you got older, you drank more sophisticated drinks. You wouldn't touch rum and coke. It's a child's drink, right? But what I'm saying is you copycat. The music that they like, you like, because you want to fit into the crowd. But you didn't know what you were doing. Your whole day was running around in circles, like in an agony, trying to figure out what to do with yourself to make yourself happier. But you didn't know how to do it. You never achieved happiness. No one does. It's the chasing after happiness that drives you crazy. When you stop running after happiness, you have a chance for some degree, some modicum of contentment. Anyway, I don't want to learn, you know, whatever. So look at Steve Bannon. Loses power in a White House shakeup, right? Was he happy when he was in power? An obscure website operator becomes all of a sudden the most important man in America next to the president. How did that happen? Ask yourself how that happened. How did Donald Trump fall for Steve Bannon to begin with? You wanted me to take it from the top? Let's start from the top. Okay, Bannon helped him in the last 3 months. Him and Barfly. Where's Barfly today? Sayonara. You know, it's a family show. Barfly, you remember the day the black educators came to the Oval Office? And she sat on the couch in a certain very undignified manner? I mean, it was shocking. Do you remember that? The legs up, the heels dug into the couch, taking a selfie. I said, what, are they crazy? They don't see? It's like the king has no clothes. Mr. Trump, take a look at this woman. She's nuts. She's doing like a softcore porno shot on the couch there. It was so bad, he didn't get rid of her, though. Now some, I don't know where she is, Blueberry Farm, whatever. Okay, but along with her came Trump. Along with her came Bannon. They came from the same, who knows? Bannon and Barfly were put in. They took credit for the election. That's what Mr. Trump thought. He's president. He can make that decision. Now they're both gone. So what does that tell you? It tells you there was an internal power struggle, and there's a new structure in place. Now, interestingly enough, Barfly and Webb were both conservative, at least in principle, in public. Barfly and Bannon were the conservative wing. Well, now that they're gone, and Rick Perry has replaced Webb, I don't know who's going to replace Barfly. Who'd he bring in for Barfly? Nobody. There is no... am I talking in code to people in the business, or does anyone know what I'm talking about? Maybe a lot. Only that woman from Brooklyn knows what I'm talking about. The woman who sounds like she... You know the one from Howard Beach? Where is she? I need her from WABC. She was on to Barfly right from the get-go. Remember the one who didn't get married or left? Are you listening to me, young lady from WABC in Howard Beach? I'll be back to take your call in the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400...
It is the Savage. My poor dog is... I don't know if he has Dogheimer's or what. He just attacked my assistant's foot again. It's since the incident with the scuffle and... He just brought me lunch, Teddy. Ease up on him. Bit his foot. He can't really bite. He's lost some teeth, but... Like crazy. Like a little poodle. Nuts on the shoe. All he was giving me was the salmon. The farm-raised salmon. What do you want from him? Eh. You know, this is not a bad thing, radio. It's a very good thing. Because it's like going on tour without being on tour. It's reaching more people in 15 minutes. Let's say you go on a tour like a singer. You don't reach that many people. It's the rockers really have to kill themselves on the road. Oh, the rotten life that must be. That's why they burn out so much. You see, did you see that the guitarist Eric Clapton in the newspaper about a week ago? In a wheelchair, he looked so old. I felt bad for the guy. Aged, gone. Thank God. Thank God, still. That's what I was playing, I Don't Need Your Rocking Chair by George Jones. Play that song, would you please? I just want to hear it. I Don't Need Your Rocking Chair.
I don't need your rocking chair.
I got an outfit like this up in Park City.
You're told, are you Medicare?
Stop the music. I mean, I'm not that kind of guy, but I got a cowboy hat and like a fleece-lined jacket, which you cannot find them anywhere except up in mountain areas where they like slaughter sheep and make outfits out of them, whatever. But I got a beautiful jacket and hat. I looked at myself as a selfie in the mirror. It looked pretty good. I think I'm going to put it up on Facebook, and they'll judge how I should dress, like a city slicker or like I just came down from Utah with bison and like Winchesters. It is the most stark landscape in the entire universe. Why do people pay $9 million for a condo to be up there? I don't know. You come down from 9,000 feet, you're dizzy by the time you hit Salt Lake City. Your head's like still up. I never saw any. How can you live at 9,000 feet? It's impossible. Even a bighorn sheep wants to flee and move down to a city. The buffalo even left that area. The deer left the area. And they're paying $9 million to live there. Go figure that one out. I'll be back for another hour. Be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Good luck to him, whatever he is, whatever he isn't, what he did, what he didn't do, I don't care. Trump to New York Times, I think Susan Rice may have committed a crime. No kidding. By requesting the identities of his associates mentioned in communications intercepted by security agencies? Of course she did. She's a no-good, Nick. Rotten through and through. She's lied about everything she's ever touched, in my estimation. She's gotten away with it for you know why. You know the reasons, okay? Same reason Obama got away with murder. Obama could invade a nation, they would call it peace. War is peace, love is hate, freedom is slavery. Nothing's going to happen to Susan Rice. They're afraid of it. The minute they would put her up on the stand, they'd be called racist and sexist. They already did it. The one who felt the thrill up his leg already said it this morning from MSNBC. Why do they keep that jerk on? He's so old and so hard. I don't mind old, but the brains don't work anymore with him. What else is in the news? I'm not going to talk anymore about it with the Bannon. No one knows who he is. No one doesn't. It's not a big deal outside of the you got to understand, if you're a talk radio listener, you know who Steve Bannon is. If not, no, most people don't know. The average guy at a filling station, at a gas station, you know, if you stop the pumping gas, it's because I came back from a road trip. I saw a different America. Don't ask about the trip down the mountain. I almost died in the car. I thought the guy was going to turn the car over. Did I tell you that story? No, it was like one of those trips where everything went wrong from the beginning to the end. Nothing was right. Oh, we're going to Park City. You love it. Skiing. First of all, I don't ski. Secondly, I hate altitude. Thirdly, the resort, which is supposed to be this great five-star resort, looked like a, how can I put it? I don't need to knock like a Marriott or a it's like a Holiday Inn in the mountains. Nothing was right. Like the chair. Like, I had a two-bedroom suite, like an 1,800 square feet. That was good, right? Not good. I couldn't sleep for 1 second. There were ski lifts outside the room. I heard machinery grooming the snow till 11, 12 at night with the beeping. So I called the desk. I said, when does this stop? They said, we don't know, sir. It's an outside company. I said, but it's your hotel. Well, you're at a ski resort, sir. I said, I know, but I need to sleep. Beep, beep, beep. And the grooming and the noise and the diesel, that went on till 2 in the morning. The furniture was like, oh, my God, where'd they get this stuff from? Like, bus van from the 1970s. What was the good of all of that? Then, well, you got to hear the ending of the story. I didn't tell it in the first 2 hours. All right, finally we're leaving. We cut the vacation shorter. It was supposed to be 2 nights. We made it 1. So you paid for the second because they won't let you out the second day. You got to pay anyway. So we're leaving, I don't know when, 5 o'clock, whenever, 6 o'clock, the hotel. It's like getting dusk already. The sun's going down, like limousine company, 2 cars. I get in the car, and when he pulls up in front of the hotel, I have the bellhop put the luggage in the car. It smelled fine, the car, because I have a very sharp sense of smell. I'm allergic to chemicals to begin with. Luggage is fine. I go inside to say something. So I come out, the car smelled like I can't explain it to you. It was a combination of bad cologne of a man's bad. Think of a Persian car dealer. I'm not knocking the Persian people, but they're very heavily into cologne. The car dealers out here, if they touch a door handle, you can never get it out of the plastic. It goes into the paint and the plastic. There's no cleaning solution. So it was like a combination of the cleaning of that and cleaning fluid. I said, what is this? The guy said, I spilled some perfume. I said, oh, he puts the rag that he did something with on top of my clothing bag. I just bought like an outfit. In the mountains, it cost me a fortune. I said, "You, what are you doing? Get it out of here." The guy looked like he had just come out of, not a halfway house, a hallway house. Looked like he'd been in a hallway for a good 20 years, hard time. And he grimaced. I didn't want to, you know, if he lost his job, he'd kill me, hunt me down and murder me. So I'm sitting, now listen to this. This was a Hobson's choice all the way to the airport. First of all, the hotel was an hour away from the airport. I didn't know that. It took longer than the flight from San Francisco to go from 6,000 to 9,000 feet going. So I knew I had to go back for it. I said, what did you do? Da, 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 da. Okay, so now here's your choice. You could either freeze to death on the way down the mountain because it was very cold with the windows open because you're going to die of the fumes otherwise. Or you can have the heat turned up and have the windows closed and die of a chemical solution that'll absolutely diminish your life. I had no choice. So I said, no heater, windows open. So I got an earache instead. I had a choice between an earache and throat cancer. I chose the earache. It was crazy. So I kept quiet because I knew he had trouble in his life. I could see that. You know, they give him jobs like that. He's like grimacing. The minute I said, you know, nicely, I was saying, why would you put that in the car? What is that exactly, that smell? And he whispered, he said, I just cleaned up a mess on the rubber mat. I said, before people get in your car, you get a weird cleaning solution from NASA to clean a stain off a rubber mat? I know, what is this stuff? So I saw he was grimacing already. Now the car's going 75 miles an hour down the mountain. And I saw if I needled too much, there could have been a flip over. And I saw it was very close to a flipper. Did you ever feel that? Like psychically, I said, So Mrs. Savage says, stop. She says, just cool it. Don't. So it was like you had to grin and bear it for that. I kept saying to him, how much longer is it to the airport? About 40 minutes, sir. Then it was like, okay, count the minutes. I'm freezing to death. My neck is going out. My ear is going out. My head is going out. Then I said, I had to give up. I said, okay, close the windows. We're going to put the heat on. Puts the heat on. You have to put like a napkin on my nose. Not, how's that going to help? The molecules are still going to the paper. A nightmare. There was no way out of it. You couldn't stop. You couldn't get out. There was nothing to look at. It was the most stark landscape I've ever seen in my life. I've been in many places on Earth. This was the starkest landscape I have ever seen. Like mile after mile after mile of badlands coming off that mountain. And you see how people live. Like cluster condos running down the hill. And you look at people's lives in those places. What is it, television and OxyContin? Television and Shenley's, what do they do at night? There's no life. There's no civilization. There's nothing. What they pump into their brain on television is all they have. Thank God there's talk radio somewhere in the area where they have nothing altogether. Anyway, now let's get back to regular programming on the Savage Nation. How are you today? Let's go to the callers. Mariah on KKOH in Reno, speaking of the mountains. How are you today, Mariah?
I'm good, Mr. Savage. How are you?
I don't answer that question. I just did it as a filler. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to comment on the butterfly and how you were completely right. I totally agree with the woman from Howard Beach. I thought she was great, and you were right.
So you're a regular listener, and you don't like women generally.
I am a regular listener. I've listened for the past couple of years now. And
what I'm saying, no, are you the kind of woman who likes women or doesn't get along with women?
I would say I probably don't get along with women too well.
See, that's the truth is, there's a lot of women who don't get along with women. That's not a misogynistic statement. It's a fact of reality.
Right. I would say that they're very catty. I'm not into the drama.
Well, wait, but you're a woman. What do you mean they're very catty?
Other women tend to be very catty.
In other words, the women you don't like tend to be catty. But that includes all the women you ever meet.
Pretty much, yes, sir.
Okay, well, I don't know you personally. So you're not making this a general statement. You're saying that I thought that she was not right for the job because she was grandstanding in plain English. Every scene, there she was. Every minute, there she was. Funeral, there she was, bending over, running in front of the camera. But the last straw for me was when the black educators, the males, visited the Oval Office. There she was on the couch with her legs back. Did you see that picture I'm talking about?
I do. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Well, I'm sorry. It was sickening.
But look,
the issue is she's part... Yeah, all right. Thanks for the call. I'm sending you a copy of Trump's War. It has no lewd pictures in it. There's no X-rated or R-rated pictures in it. It's just A-rated conversation, A-rated writing. All I'm saying to you is Barfly is gone, at least I don't see her. Bannon is now gone, gone with the wind. In comes Perry, liberal. I don't know who's replacing Barr. I don't know who they're going to use. I try to use one-word code words for people. Like Bannon, I gave a name to Bull. I gave him the name Bull. Because he was like a bull in a china shop. Whatever he touched broke. He pushed the Muslim ban, boom, backfired. He went too far, too fast in the wrong directions. And so maybe, you know, he tried that out. That didn't work. So now he's going to try the other approach, the softer approach. It won't work anyway. What he doesn't know yet is that there's no winning with the vermin in the media. There is no winning with Soviet-style people in the media. There's no winning with Soviet-style politicos, Soviet-style buzzfeeders. You're never going to change them. They're never going to like you, Mr. President. So stick to what got you where you are, Trump's war. Be our warrior, Mr. Trump. Don't give in to the progressive establishment. They will destroy you anyway. They will never like you. If you haven't learned that by now, you're going to learn it soon enough. So here's my next prediction. Because I told Inner Circle people of my own Inner Circle, which is very small, I didn't think Bannon would last 3 months. And he went 3 months. I'm telling you, almost to the day. I said, 3 months, he's out. He's too much. 3 months. I'm going to make another prediction. The next Inner Circle is going to last no more than 3 months. They're going to try the other side. Now they're going to try the liberal side. June 30th, watch, there's a change of a guard again. Changing of the guard again. July 1st, I may have another dessert. Because I am what I am. I mean, the thing is, he can trust me. I'm not an extremist in any way. My positions are very, very clear. I've written them. I don't change. I don't vary. You look at my writings going back to the beginning. My message has been the same. Borders, language, culture. Borders, language, culture. I didn't invent it in the last 3 months of the campaign to win favor with Donald Trump. These other people, we don't know where they were 20 years ago. We don't know where they were politically. We really don't know where they were, period, 20 years ago. He knows where I was 20 years ago. I was right here on the Savage Nation. Okay? 3 months. The next Inner Circle group goes in 3 months. You think Perry's going to last? I don't think so. Perry's going to come out as the open borders, George Bush type that he is. I don't think that's going to work. They're going to run that up the flagpole, so to speak. Not going to work. I don't know. It's a shocker, by the way, to replace Steve Bannon with Rick Perry. It's like from right to left right there. Strange choice. It's not even someone in the middle. Rick Perry is clearly a liberal. He's like a John McCain. Rick Perry is John McCain with a better delivery system. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The way people look, they're so different outside of city-ish. You know, I mean, they don't look the same. Like the freak show here in San... I didn't see one person with green hair and a nipple ring on their nose. Not one. No one had rings on their face, in their nostrils, in their ears. Clean, beautiful people. Like America should be. About a beautiful country it is outside of the cities. God. So here's the news, big news. Howard Beach lady is here. Terry on WABC. You were listening after all. So are you there? Terry, are you there?
I always listen.
So the question is this. Bannon is out. Barfly is out. Who are they? We know that Bannon was replaced with a liberal, Rick Perry. So it means they're moving to the left. So who are they going to replace, in your opinion, Barfly with?
I don't know. I've been praying her out. I've been praying Bannon out. I am also praying out Eddie Munster, Ryan, and Prius. And now,
wait. Why did you want Bannon? Why did you want Bannon out? You're like a hardcore conservative type.
Yes, I am. I never liked him from the beginning. Another thing, he's always looking unkempt, just like his friend, the Barfly.
Yeah, the unkempt is a giveaway. You know, it's one thing to be unkempt in your own home studio where no one sees you. But you're walking around in the White House with world leaders. Why are you looking rumpled up? What was that about?
I wish I could get in there and fix it.
No, but Terry, no. Listen to this. This is a very big story. The hygiene, the unkempt look. Donald Trump is fastidious. So is Mrs. Trump. They're immaculate. Why would they have someone around that always looked like he just rolled out of a bed?
Class. They have none. They have no class.
All right, so you thought that was a giveaway, the unkempt look?
Oh, this is disgusting.
All right, so who is he going to replace a Barfly with? It has to be a woman to the left of her.
Oh, well.
Who? Think of it. Now, think about this one. He replaced Bannon with someone to the left of him, Rick Perry, at Open Borders. So now he's replaced Barfly. He's no longer there. He hasn't fired her, but I don't see her. So who's he going to put in, whatever she was, press advisor? I don't even know what she did. Does anyone know what she did? What was her job?
Looking like a pig.
No, come on. She was not very good for the image of the presidency, but who will he replace her with is the question. I had suggested, you want me to tell you the truth? When I had a moment with the president, a couple of whatever, I suggested Laura Ingraham. I thought she'd be a great addition to the White House Inner Circle. I don't see them picking her up. She's a true conservative. You know that.
Wonderful. I love her.
She's classy. She's got the cross, but she really means it. I mean, there's a lot of people who wear crosses, but they don't mean it. There's like for like effect. Laura really believes it. I mean, she's a great person.
And she also does her nails. She always looks so nice.
You like my mother. That was a fast one. No, the nails are a giveaway. It's nothing wrong if you're a nail biter. But if you're coming out in public next to the president and you're a nail biter, you have to have an official... fake nail person on your staff, who every time you make an appearance, they put fake nails on your hand, right?
The nails don't even have to be fake; they just have to be polished and looking nice. Your hands are very.
So why did her nails always look chewed?
I don't know. I guess because she chews her nails.
All right, that's okay. People chew nails. They get nervous. Doesn't mean they're bad people. Well, some have nice nails and they're monsters. But the issue is if you're around the president in public, why would you not want to put on a set of fake nails on your hand every time and then throw them away at night? I don't get that part. All right, you're a good sport, Terry. I'm sending you a copy of Trump's Sports, probably the third copy you have. What'd you do with the other copies I gave you for free? Did they arrive yet?
I didn't get the first copy.
Oh, they didn't send it? Here's another one. Another one that won't arrive. Savage Nation, back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Politico, as you well know, is a front group for the Democrat Party. Politico has no credibility whatsoever. It's run by Soviet-era hacks claiming that Neil Gorsuch committed plagiarism. This guy is so beyond them. The Lilliputians at Politico could not write a comma compared to Neil Gorsuch's dissertation. In fact, here's how bizarre this is. The idiots at Politico, the evil Soviet idiots, they're actually worse than Media Matters. Politico today is worse than Media Matters at its heyday. It says, one example cited by Politico's John Bresnahan. Hey, John, I don't know where you came from, but you're a disgrace to the Bresnahan name. Your ancestors are rolling over in heaven. And Burgess Everett, you of Politico, if you have ancestors, if you weren't made in a factory, your ancestors are rolling over in their grave. They said that some passages in Neil Gorsuch's book, which was adapted from his Oxford University dissertation, seemed to be lifted from an article originally published in the Indiana Law Journal. Now, Gorsuch apparently cited the sources used by the article's author, Abigail Kuzma, while using her verbiage nearly word for word without crediting her. So they went to Miss Kuzma, and guess what she said? Miss Kuzma is now Indiana's attorney, deputy attorney general. She said, these passages are factual, not analytical in nature. It would have been awkward and difficult for Judge Gorsuch to have used different language. So the person they're claiming he stole it from is saying he didn't steal it. Listen, I have a real dissertation that's published in a real publication. And nobody at Politico has a real dissertation in anything other than propaganda. It's sickening. Neil Gorsuch, we could talk. No one even knows who he is. No one knows. I mean, they know he's going to be he's going to win anyway. You know what I love about that one is that McCain goes crazy on the nuclear option. And listen to the sick. McCain is so senile and deranged. We know this. Listen to 06. You got to hear this.
Some people try to say that once this is done and detonated, the Senate will be a better place because of this lingering fight.
I would like to meet that idiot. I would like to meet that numbskull that would say that. That after 200 years, at least 100 years of this tradition where the Senate has functioned pretty well, they think it'd be a good idea to blow it up. Whoever says that is a stupid idiot who has not been here and seen what I've been through and how we were able to avoid that on several occasions. And they're stupid and they've deceived their voters because they're so stupid.
How many times can Senator McCain say they're stupid without exhibiting the very same behavior he's talking about? The nuclear option, so-called, was invented and developed by none other than Harry Reid. And it's time the Republicans got a Harry Reid on their team. See, this is the missing part of the whole. You want to just talk Dem Republican for a minute? The Republicans lack someone with the guts of Harry Reid. He was an ex-pugilist, an ex-prize fighter. So far as I know, there's no one in the Republican Party who is as tough and as mean as Harry Reid. They need someone as mean as a reptile on their team in order to do these things, in order to win. They can't have these milquetoasts out there and expect to win a battle. They're in a fight for the life of America. So, yeah, we need the nuclear option, and Gorsuch must be appointed, and then three more Supreme Court justices, and you know what? The rest is gravy. It's that simple. If we get four justices appointed by President Trump, the rest is gravy as far as I'm concerned. It's as simple as that. That's all. Next one. Vicious left uses Soviets at Politico and BuzzFeed to attack Gorsuch. Next one. This is a tough one for me because many of you are firemen and cops. And you know I support firemen and cops somewhat. Not categorically, but let's say generally. So today's New York Post has an article showing former city cops fishing, sailing, working out. These guys claim that they were unable to work due to mental illnesses, including post-traumatic stress disorder, anxiety, and depression. Many falsely said they suffered the psychiatric ailments after searching for victims at Ground Zero. Okay? Leading authorities to blast them for dishonoring and disgracing first responders who died in the September 11th terror attacks. But using online photos that showed the crooked cops and firemen who each pilfered around $30,000 to $50,000 a year, some for 15 years, for example, ex-NYPD cop Glenn Lieberman, whose claim to have assisted at Ground Zero was revealed as a lie, posed for a picture while seated on a Sea-Doo while he was collecting disability payments. Then there's another one. Ex-cop Richard Constantino posted a Facebook photo of the genius that showed him with his mouth agape while gripping an enormous sailfish during a fishing trip to Costa Rica, also accepting disability payments. In 2015, he pled guilty to second-degree grand larceny in exchange for a conditional discharge and an order to pay $207,000 in restitution. So cops and firemen caught on disability pension scams. Here's the question of the day, a secondary question. Any pension scammers you know of? I know a lot of people get agitated over this. Any pension scammers you know of, not limited to cops and firemen, plenty of them out there. Countries filled with deadbeats. Pope peddles fake climate scare, attacks Trump and reason. My headline. Will Islam dominate the world in 40 years? I have the data. University hosts masculinity confession booth, instructing male students to repent and apologize for their masculinity. I will have more about the war on boys and what we must do about it. U.S. Department of Education indoctrinates students into Islam. This is a great story, how your government has been penetrated by the Muslim Brotherhood and more specifically the Muslim Sisterhood. They're now using women to peddle Islamism under the guise of religious freedom. And we're going to compare and contrast Christianity with Islam and tell you the danger we are in if we do not stop this. Now, this is a very sensitive one. I read this morning in the Washington Post that a Holocaust survivor went in front of an audience on immigration and attacked a sheriff, Scott Jones, for rounding up illegal aliens and deporting them if they were on watch lists. So the Holocaust survivor, a genuine one, a real one, stood up and said, "You stand there, Mr. Jones, don't forget, history is not on your side. You shouldn't be deporting families and loved ones." And he gives his horribly heartbreaking story of his time in Poland when the Nazis came and rounded him up and his parents. And I said to myself, how does the Holocaust experience differ from today's deportations in the U.S.? It's a very delicate issue because I don't want to be thrown into the group that says the Holocaust didn't exist. Of course it existed. 6 million Jews were mercilessly killed by the Nazis, as were 9 million non-Jews, by the way. Again, it's a fact of reality written by a great Jewish historian. So a lot of people were killed during the Holocaust, and they included Jews, 6 million Jews, and then let's never forget that. But there's a huge difference in what was done in Poland and Germany and Hungary and Bulgaria and all the countries of Europe by the Nazis in rounding up Jews and what Trump is doing in rounding up illegal aliens who have committed crimes. They're not the same thing. And here is the problem, and it's a very heartbreaking thing for me to have to say, and I hope you interpret this correctly because I will defend my statement. People who lived through the Holocaust were so severely psychologically damaged by it that they see the entire world through the lens of the Holocaust. And so every time they hear about immigration, right away they assign that to the historical experience that they lived through, and they think that the Mexicans, El Salvadorans, Nicaraguans, even gang members, are like the Jews in Poland in the 1930s. And so in their speaking out against Donald Trump's desire to crack down on illegal aliens, they're not doing themselves or us a favor. They're not doing us a service at all. And that's my opinion. And, of course, we know what's going on in Washington, which is turmoil. The fog is lifting from Foggy Bottom. And Steve Bannon has lost his power. He is out, and guess who's in? Rick Perry. Now, that tells you everything you need to know. It doesn't matter which side you are on. The fact is, Rick Perry is an open borders Bush guy. So it seems to me that the conservative wing of the Bush administration has been, let us put it this way, sidelined for the moment. And the liberal wing of the Trump camp has now ascended to the power that they've always wanted. Rick Perry is clearly an open borders man. In fact, Rick Perry on Donald Trump's borders wall last July said it's never going to happen. Former Texas Governor Rick Perry might have given Donald Trump a full-throated endorsement for president, but the Texas Tribune reported back in July he is not fond of the presumptive Republican nominee's plan to build a wall along the U.S.-Mexican border. In exchange posted with Snapchat's somebody on the social network's political show, that's where Rick Perry went on a Snapchat radio show. He wouldn't come on this show. Wouldn't come on this show for years. Well, he's now National Security Advisor. He said, no, I'm for Donald Trump, and he says we're going to build a wall. The Mexicans are going to pay for it, he said. Well, it's not, Perry agreed with the host. It's not going to happen. Perry has long been a critic of building a wall or fence along the border. In 2011, during his first failed run for president, he called for strategic fencing along parts of the border. He said, if you build a 30-foot wall from El Paso to Brownsville, the 35-foot ladder business gets real good. So, my friends, the fog is lifting, and we don't know where it's going to end up, nor how long Rick Perry will last in the NSC position, but we do know that Steve Bannon is out. And as your secretary, Rick Perry was added to the National Security Council, reinstating the head of the Energy Department to the council after removing him in February. Steve Bannon gone. Wow, this is a big one. Big deal. Trump boots Bannon from NSC. Is it good or bad? What do you think he'll do next? He's also shifted on Syria. Why, just last week he was for Assad. Now this week he's against Assad. He said it all changed with the use of the poisonous gas against innocent civilians. Russians claim that it was not the Syrians who unleashed the toxic gas on the Syrian civilian population, but it was the so-called U.S.-backed rebels. It's the same story all over again. How do we really know who released this toxic gas? And I don't know what the gas is. It's sarin gas? Who did it? Do we know who did it? Will we ever know who did it? During today's press conference between the president and the president of the king of Jordan, King Abdullah, who's a very educated man, he said, Syria's civil war has gone on for 7 years, said Abdullah. And he said it has descended into proxy wars with dubious agendas. Proxy wars with dubious agendas. We don't know whose side we're on anymore. Iran is with Assad. We're against Iran, so therefore against Assad. Which side is Russia on? Which side are we on? Which side is Israel on? Why is Israel not even involved in this war? Why is Israel not fired a shot in the Syrian civil war? Why have we never seen one airplane from the Israel Defense Forces ever fire a missile at an ISIS truck? Does anyone have an answer to any of these questions? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
52% say Clinton should be part of Russia probe. No one cares. Trump bump, 46% approve, Mideast peace process. The big thing is the Bannon, but no one's calling about it. I see what it is. You probably do, too, and there's nothing to say about it. So McConnell is saying Gorsuch will be confirmed this week. That's good that McConnell's going to pull the nuclear option. That's all I can say. And I think it's a done deal because even the Pocahontas, Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts, Pocahontas is saying if the GOP jams through Gorsuch, they'll own every extreme decision. And then what? You know, they act as though they don't have any extremists on the bench, right? Like they didn't give us Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who had been the head of the ACLU legal department. You hear this? Ruth Bader Ginsburg is the most radical extremist in the history of the U.S. Supreme Court. You know that old witch on the Supreme Court with the, looks like she has not a broomstick to fear. That she has a closet filled with broomsticks from every place on earth. that mean, nasty left-wing fanatic, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, was the former head of the ACLU legal department. That's not an extremist? So now they put a moderate on. They want to put Gorsuch on. By any stretch of the imagination, he's not an extremist. He is a centrist. He is a constitutionalist. He's now an extremist to the fanatics on the left. So here she's saying, oh, if we jam through Gorsuch, they'll own every... Here is clip 9 with Pocahontas, Elizabeth Warren.
Republicans have a choice. They can tell President Trump to send a new nominee, a Main Street nominee who can earn broad support.
Or please!
They can jam through this nominee. If they
jam through
Judge Gorsuch, the Republicans will own the Gorsuch court. And every extreme 5-4 decision that comes out of it.
Yeah, okay. Well, you knocked the other one off your team. You sent them down to the border hotel there. They never came back. He took a one-way trip. Took a one-way trip to southern Texas to the border hotel, never came back. So that's it. That's the good thing. That's the good thing. They should jam it through like the left is jamming things through our whole life. Bannon loses power in White House. Shake up. No one knows who he is. See, the average American out there just came for... This is the problem is if you do talk radio in your studio all the time. You don't see what goes on outside your studio. Most people do not care about these issues. Do you know that? I mean, we read the Drudge Report. We are obsessed with the news. But that's... The average American isn't. They don't care. They don't even care. They're running their lives. They could care less about all this crap. Speaking of which, you know, I'm going to say it. I know you don't want to hear it, but I'll say it again. Trump's war was everywhere I went. Every Barnes & Noble, every big bookstore I stopped in, there it was. And I don't mean all 10 copies that they order. Like, it was down to 2. They're selling. Salt Lake City Barnes & Noble, I picture me. There it is. I actually signed the books in the Salt Lake City Barnes & Noble. The book is selling like crazy. It outsold Donald Trump's own book. Did you hear that story? How could this little radio show outsell the president's Trump book? I mean, Trump's war outsold the president's Making America Great Again book. Why? Because apparently the truth sells. The truth sells. They hear the plain truth with me. They may not like it. They may not agree with a lot of what I say or everything I say, but they feel they're listening to a guy who's telling them, calling him like he sees it, which I am. What's real is what's important in this world, not the illusion.
Savage.